As we enter into a time of reflection, let us pray. Loving God, as we reflect on these words, this familiar piece of scripture, help us to hear you speaking. Help us to turn to you and respond in a way that allows us to reflect your light and your truth. As we reflect on this word, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be grounded in you, O Rock and Redeemer. This we pray in the name of the one who came to be the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. This past summer, I discovered the show on TV, This Is Us. Well, it's not the Partridge Family or even the Cosby Show. It does follow the lives of the Pearson family in a way that, compared to other offerings in today's TV world, is downright wholesome, even as they are tackling difficult issues. One of the unique aspects of this show is that it jumps between various times in the main character's past and then back to the present day. While this jumping in time sometimes makes it a little hard to follow, it allows the characters and the writers to reveal to us how bits and pieces of their lives were shaped from moment to moment, and how the past has impacted the future. Just out of curiosity, who here has watched or is watching this series? So a few hands. I hope that you're caught up, because if not, there's a few spoilers. For those of you who do not know anything about this show, it follows the life of three 38-year-old triplets, one of which who was adopted, and their parents. Following and explores their life together and the ways that it is to be a 38-year-old in today's world. Following the Super Bowl Sunday, which was always a big thing in the Pearson home, we find out one of the main points in this storyline, how the father, Jack Pearson, dies. He was a devoted father and husband, and this tragedy happens when the kids were just 17. Up until this episode, there had been much speculation and wondering as the death of their father hung in the background of the kids' lives and thus was woven into each and every episode. Kevin, Kate, and Randall's stories illuminated how deep loss runs through and continues on in our lives. We learn on that day, Super Bowl Sunday, that Jack dies of complications from smoke inhalation after Jack goes back into the burning house to get the family dog and grab a few mementos. Each of the kids reacts to Jack's death differently. Randall, in many ways, attempts to embody his father, carrying on the Thanksgiving Day traditions, having big Super Bowl Sunday parties, and even expressing a desire to adopt a child as his father had. Kevin carries around guilt about what he didn't say and didn't do, for he wasn't there that night. And then there is Kate, who constructed the story that her dad died because of her, because she was so upset about the pet dog that Jack went back to get. She saw herself as being responsible for her father's death. Kate's truth about that fateful night was a burden that fueled her eating issues, negative self-esteem, and her outlook about life. Kate's character is a great example about how what we hold to be true influences who we are and how we respond to the world. Kate, out of her grief and guilt for what she feels she has done, lets that ripple into her entire story. As we return to the biblical story, we find ourselves jumping too, not in time, but between the inside and the outside. Last week, we heard about how Peter denied Jesus 3 times while a trial was going on. And today, we hear about how the Jewish authorities remained outside of the walls so that they could be ritually pure and participate in the Passover while Jesus was inside. And Pilate got to go between, hopping in and out. The Jewish authorities of the day had had enough of Jesus' teaching, of his growing fellowship, of their failed attempts to stone him according to their own law. And so they turned to the Roman authorities, because they wanted Jesus dead, once and for all. And Rome? Well, Rome had the tools to make sure that Jesus didn't escape his faith. Yet even as Jesus stands bound before Pilate, Pilate doesn't take the high priest's word as law. He suspects that the charges that are laid don't tell the whole story. Don't speak the whole truth. Truth. That little word becomes the heart of the conversation between Jesus and Pilate, accumulating in his big question, what is truth? Well, some have been hard on Pilate, but here in the Gospel of John, a case could be made to argue that his question was not just there to dismiss Jesus' proclamation when he said, "You say I am king, for this is what I was born, why I was born, and this is why I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." What is truth? Pilate's question could have been a genuine desire to understand this truth that Jesus was talking about. Our scripture doesn't tell us how Jesus responds to this question. Maybe, like so many other rabbis, he answered it with a question of his own. But maybe, just maybe, Jesus told Pilate what he meant about truth, the truth that he came to testify to. I can see him, Jesus, telling Pilate about how he came to show God's love to the world, how he came not just to remind us with words, like the prophets of old had, but also with actions, to show us just how loved we are by our Maker. Maybe he talked to Pilate about how he didn't have to struggle so hard. That gospel message that says, everything God has asked us to do, we have already been blessed to do and equipped. And then added a comment, maybe Pilate just needed to listen a little bit harder to God. Maybe Jesus said those old familiar words that are told so many times in our gospel. Do not be afraid. We don't know what Jesus said. It wasn't recorded. All we know is that when he left Jesus' side, when he went back out into the world, he proclaimed that he found no case against this man. Maybe he heard some truth. Something that caused him to say, wait. But hearing is only part of the story. Hearing is only part of how we live the gospel into existence. And that day, even if Pilate did hear, he didn't live into it. He didn't remove the rope from Jesus' hands or fling open the doors wide. Instead, he tried to cleanse his conscience by saying, I didn't make the choice. By holding up two options before the people and letting them decide. I really wonder whether Pilate intended for this to be a no-brainer choice. If I was in the crowd that day, I hope I would say, we want Jesus to be freed. Because really, what had he done? He'd healed people. He gave people hope. He showed us love. He called us to live faithfully. And then there was Barabbas. The word used in our scripture, bandit, doesn't do justice to the Greek. This was one really nasty man. Violent. Murderer would probably be a better translation. Maybe he thought it was a no-brainer choice. That the people would say, free Jesus. But as people do, when we get together, sometimes we make stupid choices. Sometimes we get swayed by that person whispering in our ear when our heart knows that it's wrong. Sometimes we disregard the truth that's in front of us. And so on that day, the crowd cried for the release of Barabbas. And God's truth and God's light was thrust into even more darkness. But we know the end of the story. And a little bit later, we'll bounce in time back to Palm Sunday and then to Easter. But it's Lent. Lent is uncomfortable. So we stand here with Pilate asking, what is truth? Jesus came. For this I came into the world to testify to truth. Jesus testifies to the truth that God's truth does not bind us, but sets us free and calls us to do the same to others. As we return to Kate's story in This Is Us, she had been bound by what she decided was truth. That she was responsible for her father going back into a burning building. But that wasn't really the reality, or at least not the whole truth. For Jack was the one who was an adult, the one who made a conscious choice to go back in to get a dog, to stop and get some mementos. At the hospital, a nurse commented that Jack must have really loved the dog to go back in, to which he replied, "I love the girl who loves that dog." The story that Kate told herself was that she was responsible for his death. And that led her to deny some of the joy of her life, to giving up singing, to struggling with weight, and even trying to give up on love. Yet the ultimate truth of this story is that Kate was not unlovable, but was deeply and profoundly loved. And that her father's death was because of his choices to walk into the flames out of love, because he wanted her to have everything. If that was the truth that Kate held onto, just think about how her life would have been different without the guilt, without the denial of her own worth and talent. A love that walks into all dangers, a love that faces death, a love of a father who would do anything possible to try to prevent his children from suffering, who supplies everything we need in abundance. Doesn't that sound familiar? In a nutshell, that is the story of Jesus' life and death and ultimate resurrection. It is the truth that we can hold on to and grasp onto, the truth that sets us free, the truth that allows us to live without guilt, to live into the abundance, to live into the glory that God has made each and every one of us to be. And so, as we're trying to figure out what is truth in this world, let us look to Jesus. Let us see if what we are calling truth leads to that freedom, that unbinding, that deep love and passion. And if it does, let us go wholeheartedly into it. And if it doesn't, let's keep looking. For this is the gift of God for each of us. That we are loved and beloved and chosen and gifted and called. Thanks be to God. Amen.